Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Gittin Daf Yud Dalid. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins 11 lines from the top of Daf Yud Dalid. Before we begin the actual Gemara, we glance at the side where we have a Mivne. Mivne is a structural note. A double underline marking appears. And we've noted, Rav Mazkir Din Maimed Shloshtan Pamayim. Rav makes mention of the law that we refer to as Maimed Shloshtan. We've been discussing this in our recent Shiurim. Namely, a person will refer to them as A, B, and C. Mr. A wants to give something to Mr. C. So, and he speaks to Mr. B and says to Mr. B in the presence of Mr. C, that which you owe to me, I want you, instead of giving it to me, give it to him. So that Mr. A says to Mr. B, let's say Mr. B had been entrusted with an item, a pikodon, or, and this is a discussion in the Gemara that we've seen already, he has been given a loan and he has to pay back the loan. Mr. A then has that which is owed to him by Mr. B. Mr. A says to Mr. B, give it to Mr. C. If all three are present, the deal is clinched. That's Maimed Shloshtan. In our Gemara, as we said, Rav says this twice, and we want to know why is that necessary. You'll see the use of a diamond. The diamond appears as Kushios al Rav number 1. Now the Gemara. Omar le Rav, Rav Acha Bardala. Rav says to Rav Acha Bardala, Kavo demoriko isli gaboch. I have by you a kav, is a measure of morika. Morika is a type of spice. It's referred to as, you can see it's called karkom. I want you to give the kav of morika that you owe to me, Yahweh leploni. Give it to so-and-so. Be'ape ko'aminoloch delo hadar nobi. Now the thinking right now regarding this line is that as follows. I'm saying this in front of him so that I don't back out. That'd be the translation according to the initial thinking. So that Rav is saying to Rav Acha, listen, I want you to give the, I'm saying in front of Mr. Plony over here, I want you to give him the kav of Morika that you owe me, and I'm saying it in front of him so that I don't back out. The Gemara asks, Michlal di'i boi hodarbe, motzi hodarbe? Does that imply that if he would have wanted to back out, he could have backed out? That's not true, because when you present something to a receiver in a Maimed Shloshtan, that's a deal clincher. There's no room for backing out. So what did Rav mean when he said "Ba'apei ko'amino loch de'lo hadarnabi"? And Rashi on that says "Hashta sakdaitoch de'hochi amalei b'fonov," that which he's saying in front of him is "Ani mavtichacho shelo echzerbi." I'm promising you that I won't back out. That leaves room to think that if he should want to back out, he could, and that's not true. Hochi ko'amar. So the Gemara refines what Rav was saying. Dvorim halolu lo nitnu l'chazora. That which I'm saying to you in front of him is a statement, is a transaction that cannot be reversed. Once I say to you in his presence, give him the item that you owe me, that cannot be reversed. That's a final deal. The Gemara asks, Ho Omar Rav Chado Zimna. Rav has already taught this, though. The Omar of Hun Omar Rav, Mono Li Biodcha. You owe me $100. Tineu Lo Leploni. B'may Mitzlosh Don Kona. If you say that in the presence of all three, the original owner, the one in whose possession it is, and the ultimate receiver, that's kona, means the deal is clinched. So what do I need Rav to say this again with the Kava Domorika? The Gemara answers, E mehahi, if I had just the case of the mona, the $100, I would have thought that the halacha that requires all three to be present in order for the deal to be clinched, that's when you're dealing with a large gift, a large amount. But if it's a small amount, like the Kava Demorika, there the deal could be clinched even if the receiver is not there. Komash Molon. So the case involving the Kava Demorika tells us that in order for the deal to be clinched with mere speech and not any additional Kinyan gestures, all three have to be present. Hano Ginoi, the Ovid Chushbino Behadi Hadodi. Ginoi are people that sell vegetables. They have gardens, and they sell vegetables. And in this incident, apparently a group of them were working together. And in the context of the Gemara, it seems that they were working a field owned by someone else. Maybe they worked on some kind of commission basis or whatever. We'll see in the Gemara more details, and hopefully it will become a bit clearer. Unfortunately, Rashi does not elaborate on what the exact financial arrangement there was, but we will see in the story people that are Ginoi, they're raising gardens, and there's someone referred to later as a Mori Ara, the owner of the land. So you have these vegetable salesmen that made a calculation. Posh Chamesh Isteri Zuzi Gabi Chad Minayu. There appear to be, after their calculations, five Isteri Zuzi, we'll say five coins that were extra by one of them. Amri Lay, so the others said to him, the one by whom the five coins were found, Yahavinu Nihale Lemore Ara. Just skipping the bracketed three words, Vikono Mine. Let's read that again. Yahavinu Nihale, give them the coins unto him, unto whom? Unto Lemore Ara, to the owner of the land. Be'api Mori Ara. And they said this in front of the owner of the land. And vikona mine, and they made a kinyan, a formal gesture of acquisition. Lesof ozal ovad chushbono bein delay lenafshe. Afterwards, that one ginoi, gardener or vegetable merchant, that one made a recalculation. Lo poshka be velo midi, and it turned out there was nothing extra by him. Also lekame de Rav Nachman, so he came with his case to Rav Nachman. On the one hand, it seemed that he became obligated to pay the five coins to the More Ara, but later he found that he didn't have any extra coins. Omar Le, my Avidloch, Rav Nachman hears the story and he says, well, what can I do for you? Chado, first of all, Diyama Rav Hunama Rav. We have the halacha of Maimed Shloshtan, where since all three parties were present, there was the other gardeners, the other vegetable salesman, yourself, the one having the money, and the ultimate receiver were all present, and they instructed you to give him the coins that would clinch the deal. The od hakanu minach, and furthermore, an actual Kenyan gesture was done beyond the mere words. So it's Rav Nachman says it appears that you're solidly obligated to pay the 5 coins. Omar le Rava. Rava interjects. He's otu hai mi komar lo yahivina. Is this fellow saying, I don't want to pay? I'm not paying? In other words, he's backing out of what was agreed upon? That's not what he's saying. Deleko gaboi komar. He's saying, there aren't any extra coins in my possession to begin with. Omar le, Rav Nachman says, Im Kain, if that's the case, Kinyan bitosu, then all of the previous transactions, the Maimed Shloshtan and the Kinyan, the acquisition gesture that was made was all done under mistaken circumstances. The whole Kinyan bitos choser. And any Kinyan that's done under mistaken circumstances is in fact reversed. So you're not obligated. Before we go further, we have a topic heading / mivneh structural note on the side. In our Gemara, we're going to see the phrase holech mono leploni shani chayev lo. Holech means bring to so-and-so mono the $100 that I am obligated to him. Ayim yochol hamashalech lachzerbo. Can the sender back out? We're going to see a house marking highlighting the machlokes Rav Shmuel, and then a bow tie marking appears. Nisyonos lahasbir b'mecholkim. These bow ties represent attempts to explain what is the basis of their machlokes, their controversy. The Gemara, Itmar hoylech mono leploni shani chayav lo. Mr. A says to Mr. B, bring the 100, mona is 100, we often refer to it as $100, to Mr. C, Leploni, that I am obligated to pay him. Omar Rav, Chayov Bachriuso, Vimbo Lachzor Eino Choser. The sender is obligated to compensate if anything should go wrong en route. And furthermore, if he, the sender, wants to back out, he cannot back out. Rashi says, "Bachriuso im yensu miad shaliach se." If anything happens to the money while in the hands of the agent, the original sender is obligated to make good, to compensate. The sender, as we said, cannot back out. Rashi says, "V'im bo lachzor v'loimar hachzirom li." I want you to give them back to me, the money back to me. Shemo yensu mimcho b'derech. I'm afraid something might happen to the money while in your possession en route. Eino choser. The mishalech cannot back out. We continue in the Gemara. Ushmuel Omar mitoch shechayev bachriuso. Since the sender has this obligation, im bo lachzor choser, if he should want to back out, he has that option. Lemo behokumifluki. Can we say that it's in the following that Rav and Shmuel are arguing? Demor sovar, Rav, who says no back out, because holech kizchi domi. The instruction of holech literally means bring unto him, is actually a stronger term than just bring it unto him, but rather take possession of it on his behalf. Oh, so if that's what holech means, so as soon as you give the money to the agent, it becomes the possession of the receiver. There's no more backing out. Rashi adds, however, there still is the obligation for insuring the money. If anything goes bad, we call achrayis, chiv achrayis, because the receiver, well, the malva, the original lender of the money, who is the destination of the money, he never instructed the borrower, the mishaleach, to give the money to this guy, to the agent. So that act is something that he's doing on his own, the borrower is doing on his own volition. Therefore, if anything happens to the money, he's going to have to make good on it. He's not working at the behest of the lender. We continue in the Gemara. Umor sovar holech lav kischidami. And Shmuel would take the position that just by the fact that you said holech, that doesn't mean there's immediate possession achieved on the part of the receiver. The Gemara says, lo, that's not the analysis. De kuliyama holech kischidami. All would agree that when you use the expression holech, it means take on his behalf. Not just bring it to him, but take the money on his behalf. And the following is the analysis of the disagreement between Rav and Shmuel. Mor sovar lo aminon migu. Rav does not make a connection between the chiyuv achrayis, the obligation that the borrower has, and the ability to back out. Namely, Rav does not say that since he has the sender, who is the borrower, has an obligation, he has a right to back out. And Umor Sovar Shmuel says that in general, holech kischi, however, where you have an obligation until it gets to its destination, aminon migu, we do say that since the sender has the obligation, he also has the right to back out, to withdraw. Tanyo kavose de Rav. We have a Tanaic source that supports Rav's approach that no back out. Holech mono leploni, shani chayavlo. If someone says that phrase, which we've seen already, bring the 100 to so-and-so that I'm obligated to pay him, or tain mono leploni, shani chayavlo. Two more examples, but instead of a loan, here the next two examples deal with an article that was given as a trust, as to be guarded, a pikodon, that was entrusted to someone to watch. Holech mono leploni pikodon sheyesh li biyadi. Bring these $100 that so and so had entrusted by me, or tain mono leploni pikodon sheyesh lo biyadi. Chayov bachriuso, the original party, namely the borrower or the bailey, is obligated to make good, to compensate if anything should happen en route. The bal lachzer einoi choser. Notice we dashed underline eino. That's really the main point of this source as a support to Rav. That if he should want to back out, he cannot back out. The Gemara asks, pikodon, in the case of an entrusted article, why is it so that the bailey, the one entrusted with it, cannot back out? Let the sender, the bailey, the shomer, let him say to the shaliach, to the agent, ein ritzono shehe pikdoinoi biyad acher. The original owner of it, he really doesn't want his item to be in someone else's hands, namely in your hands. Why can't he back out then? Why can't the shomer back out? Omar Rebbe Zera, kishehuchsuk kafron. This source is talking about a case where the shomer has an established reputation as someone who is a kafron, a denier. And therefore, we bear witness that the owner of articles, when their item is in the possession of such an individual, they would be only too happy that their item is found in someone else's hands, in Yad Acher. Therefore, the taina, the claim of Ein Ritzono Likshei B'Dono B'Acher, is not true under these circumstances. We have a new marking on the side. We have a Nosei / Mivneh, the triangle shape. Shnei Maisim Shel Shlichus Lavi Parit Me HaShomer. Two stories involving agency to bring an item to from someone who was watching it. Umevakshim HaShomerim Shel Shlichim Eilu Yikablu Al Atzmam Oynes HaDerech. And in these stories, we'll see that the Shomer, the Bailey, the one unto whom the articles were entrusted, when they give the item over to the agent to bring it to the owner, they, the Shomrim, want the agent to accept upon themselves, we call Oynes HaDerech, the obligation to make good if anything happens en route. In other words, up till now, we've seen that even though the item is in the possession of the agent, if something should happen en route, the mishalech, the sender, is going to have to bear responsibility. In these stories, we're going to see that the sender wants to transfer that obligation to the agent. The Gemara. Rav Sheshes Hagalei Asharsa Desarbali B'Mechuzah. Rav Sheshes had apparently sold coats on credit. Time came for and he sold these coats in Mechuzah, name of a community, and it's time for payment. Rav Sheshes wants to collect the money that is owed to him for those sarbali, for those coats. Omar lei lirav Yosef bar Chama. Rav Sheshes says to Rav Yosef, "Bahadi de osis, on your way back from there to here, I sinhu nihale. Bring the money to me." Ozal, so Rav Yosef went. Yahavinu le. The people in Mechuzah that owed the money gave the money to him, to Rav Yosef. Amri lay, they said to Rav Yosef, Nikni Minoch. Rashi says, across from here, Nikni Minoch, Oinsa de Urcha. De'i misnisi Minoch, lo lahader letov on. We want you to acquire, let's say, from us the obligation. If anything should happen to the monies en route, Rav Sheshes won't come to us with a claim. In other words, you will be obligated. Omar lehu in. So Rav Yosef said to them, "Yeah, I'll do that. I'll make a kinyan with you, a gesture of acquisition here. In this case, it's acquisition of responsibility." L'sof ishtamet lu, and at the end, Rav Yosef avoided them. He slipped away. In other words, he never made that kinyan. Ki osa ligabei omar le shapir avdis. When Rav Yosef eventually got to Rav Sheshes, he said, "You did a good thing that you didn't bind yourself to the obligation, to the responsibility. The lo shavis nafshach, you didn't make yourself into what the pasuk describes, eved loive liish malve, a person who borrows money, a person who is obligated, becomes like a slave unto the one who loaned him the money. So, in your case, had you become obligated, you would have become like a borrower who is obligated to a lender, thereby making yourself into a slave. Lishna Achrina, another version of the story, another version of Rav Sheshis' response, Shapir Avdis, Eved Loive Leish Malve. In order to appreciate this, we look in Rashi. The bottom line, we have a double star so you can see where we're reading from. Lishnach Rina Goris, a different version. Shapir Avdis. Eved Loive Leish Malve. Klomar. Shapir Avdis de Ishtamtsis. You did a good thing by avoiding, by escaping. Lefi Shehain Lovim Vavodim Li. They are indebted to me. Lahavio Li Bachriusan, for the monies to be brought to me with full responsibility. So they are the Eved Liishlova, and you avoided becoming that. Rav Achi Bar Yoshia. Notice we have a long marking, quite a long marking, going down about a third of the way down Omid Beis regarding this story. By the way, if you need to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. So here we have another story. Rav Achi Rabbi Yoshia Have Le Ispika de Kaspa Benaharga. Ispika, Rashi says, a kli, a vessel made of silver. That was right currently in Naharda. So Rav Achi is the owner of a silver vessel that's in Naharda. He's interested in retrieving that vessel. We continue at the top of Omid Beis. Omar Lahu L'Rav Dostoy Rav Yanai L'Rav Yossi Rav Kippur. Rav Achi says to these two gentlemen, Rav Dostoy and Rav Yossi, Bahadi de Asisu, on your way back from there, Asyuha Nihale, bring it, the silver vessel, unto me. Azul Yahave Nihale. They went to Naharda, and the people there that had this silver vessel gave it unto them. Amri Lahu Nikni Minaihu. The Shomrim there in Naharda said to these Rabbonim, we want to make a kinyan with you, which would thereby relieve us of the obligation of Oynes HaDerech, and you would accept it. Amri Lahu Lo. So the agents of the Stein, Rabbi Yossi, said, no, we're not making such a kinyan. Amri Lahu Ahadre Nihalon. So the Shomrim said, well then, give it back to us. Rav Dostoy Bribiani Omar Luhu In. Rav Dostoy was willing to cooperate with them. Rav Yossi Bar Kippur Omar Luhu Lo. And Rav Yossi says, no, I'm not giving it back. Avu Ko Mitsa'aru Le. They, the people in Naharda, the Shomrim, they started to oppress Rav Yossi. Omar Omru Lo. The Shomrim said to Rav Dostoy, the other agent, who was willing to go along with them and give it back, they said to him, Chazi Mor Hechi Ka'ovid, you see what he's doing? That he, how he is uncooperative? This Rav Yossi isn't giving it back to us? And we mentioned that they were oppressing him, maybe. They were vexing him, they were hitting him. Omar Lahus Rav Dostoy says, Tov Ramule. Rashi says on the third line from the top, Harbe Hikuhu, hit him even more. That's one version, and he has a Lishna Achrina. Rashi also on the third line from the top, Tov Ramule, Yofe Ruuyos Hamokos Halalu. What you're doing to him is good. He deserves it. Let's continue in the Gemara. Ki osu the gabe, when they, Rav Dostoy and Rav Yossi, came to Rav Achi, Omar Le, Chozimor, Rav Yossi, who was the victim of their oppression, he says to Rav Achi, Lo mistaya de lo sayan, it's not enough that he, Rav Dostoy, didn't help me out, Elo Omar Luhunami Tov Romale. But he even encouraged them, saying, oh, hit him even more. Omale Amaitav et Hachi. So Rav Achi turns to Rav Yossi and asks, why were you so, Rav Achi turns to Rav Dostoy. I ask, well, why did you behave thusly? Why were you so eager to comply with them? Omar Le, so Rav Dostoy explains, and notice it's we have a long marking, long answer here. Oison ben Adam, hein amo, v'koyven amo, medabrin mechetzien, ishmosim mevuhalim. You know those people there in Naharda? They're hein amo, they're very big people. Very, very tall. They wear these massive hats, and their voices come from their midsections. So they have very deep, threatening voices, and their names are even intimidating. What are their names? Ardo, Arto, Ufili, Borish. Omrim Kfosu, Rav Dostoy goes on to say, when they issue an order, tie him up, Kofsin, everyone complies. Omrim Harogu, if they say kill, Hargan, they will execute. Ilo Hargu Ez Dostoy, and if they would have killed me, had I been recalcitrant, Mi Nosan Le Yanai Abo Bar Kamosi, would my father Yanai have given a replacement son like me? Omale, so Rav Achi asks, Bnei Odom Halolu Krovim L'Malchus Hein, these people that you're describing, do they have governmental connections? Omale Hein, yeah, they're well connected. Yesh Lehem Susim Ufrodim Shirotzim Achrayim, and do they have horses and mules that would run after them? In other words, if someone tries to get away from them, would they be able to catch up with them very easily? Amalei Hain, yep. They're government connected. They've got swift transportation at their behest. Amalei, Achi Shapir Avdi. So Rav Achi says, if all that's the case, then you did very well. You saved yourself by trying to cooperate with them. Holech mono leploni v'holach ubikshoi v'lo matzo. We have a case where someone was asked to bring a mona, $100 to so-and-so. The agent went, sought him out, and didn't find him because he died. Tony Chada, one version says, Yachsuru la mishalech. The money is to be brought back to the sender. V'tanyu idach, another Tanaic source says, L'yorshe mi shenishtal chulo. The money is to be given to the heirs of the one unto whom the money was sent. So we have two Tanaic sources. We call them Aleph and Beis. There is clearly a difference between the sources. Aleph saying the money goes back to the sender. The second source says it doesn't go back to the sender. It goes to the heirs of the one unto whom it was sent. What's the basis of the machlokes? So you see, we have quite a bit of marking taking place. The bow tie shapes that you see are explained on the side under the Nosei / Mivneh heading. The bow ties are two nisyonos lomar, two attempts to say shahoylich kizichi havi machloikis tanoyim. The initial instruction of holech, does that equal, is that tantamount to taking immediate possession? That would appear to be a machloikis tanoyim. Later, we're going to see diamonds. These are nisyonos liyashev shnei brises. V'mikre she'omar hoylech mono leploni. V'holach ha'shaliach lemtso es ha'mekabel u'matso shemeis. The case that we just had, these diamonds represent attempts to explain, to resolve these sources. At first glance, they appear to be contradictory. Hence, we use the expression liyashev, to resolve, to conclude that they're not contradictory sources. But let's turn now to the Gemara. Lemo beho komifili. Shall we say that the sources, Aleph and Beis, are arguing, are in disagreement over the following. The more sabar holech kizichi, or more sabar holech lav kizichi. If we were to stop here, then we would say the issue of how to define holech is a machlokes tanoim. Notice the second bow tie. If you go down a few lines, you see the bow tie number two. Leimo holech kizichi tanoihi. That's why we have a second bow tie. It's a second attempt on the part of the Gemara to say that holech kizichi is a machlokes tanoim. So shall we say that? Omar Rav Abba Bar Memol, we're not going to say that. The Kuleyama Holech Lav Kizichi. Everyone would agree that just by saying Holech, it doesn't mean immediate possession on behalf of the receiver. Velo Kashya, Ha Bebori, Ha Beshchiv Mira. There isn't any contradiction here. It depends. If the sender is a Bori, is a healthy person, then the money is to be sent, to be brought back in the event that you find that the receiver died. We take a look at Rashi. The Rashi that we're looking at, Dibur Masal Bibori, Yachsru Lamashalech. The money is brought back to the sender. The Holech Lav Kischidomi. The word Holech, uttered by a healthy person, doesn't mean immediate possession on behalf of the receiver. V'zeh lo shocho elo l'mekabel lo v'lo l'yorshav. He sent it to the receiver, not to his heirs. Then the other source, the source we call Beis, it goes to the yorshim b'shchiv meira. If the sender was a deathly ill individual. There's a special law that applies to a shchiv meirah. This is a machlokes tanoim in and of itself, but for our purposes, we're following the opinion that says that the words of a shchiv meirah are as if they're signed, sealed, and delivered. His holech is kizichi. That when a shchiv meirah, who's deathly ill, says holech, he's saying take it on behalf of the receiver. And therefore, it's considered as if it's in the possession of the receiver immediately. And if he dies, if the receiver dies, it goes to his heirs. The Gemara continues. Rav Zvid Omar ha v'ha b'shchiv meira. Both Aleph and Beis, the Tanaic sources, are referring to someone who's deathly ill. And someone like that, when he says holech, he means Zichi, take immediate possession on his behalf. Ha deise la mekabel b'shas matan mos. The Bay's source that says the money goes to the receiver's heirs, that's because the receiver was alive at the time the money was given to the agent. Oh, if the receiver was alive at that time, so the money becomes his immediately. And if afterwards he dies, it goes to his heirs. The Aleph source is speaking about a deathly ill individual saying to someone, take this money on behalf of so-and-so, but at the time that the agent took the money, the receiver was already dead. So he was taking the money under mistaken circumstances. The Shchiv Meira was thinking that the guy is alive, but he wasn't alive at the time he gave the money to the agent. So then the whole thing is under mistaken circumstances. The money therefore goes back to the Mishaleach. Rav Papa Omar, ha v'ha b'bori. Both sources are talking about a healthy individual giving the money. Ha demis mekabel b'chaye nosein. We should take a look at the Rashi. Ha v'ha b'bori. Rashi explains the holech didei lav kizchidomi. Rav Papa, who says that both sources are talking about a bori who is giving the money over to the agent. Both sources are talking about a bori. His holech instruction is not equal to zechi. So the resolution of the sources is that the Aleph, the first source, which said goes the money goes back to the sender, the Miss Mekabel, the receiver died b'chaye nosein, while the giver was still alive. So if the receiver died, it never got to him, and there was no immediate possession on his behalf. So what do you do with the money? It goes back to the sender. Rashi explains here, "Hod mis mekabel b'chayin." He's saying, "Yachsu l'mishaleach." It goes back to the sender. The lo zocha bohen mekabel. The receiver never took possession of it. Even if later the sender dies during the return of the agent, the issue of fulfilling the words of the dead man doesn't apply over here, because his instructions to give became nullified already before his own death, upon the death of the receiver, which took place before. The other source, Beis, Ha Demis Noisein B'chayi Mekabel. The money was sent, and en route, the sender died. So even though the receiver doesn't gain instant possession, nevertheless, we know what the will of the sender was. And now he died. So there's a mitzvah to fulfill his will. And that dictates that the money is then given to the receiver. And as we said, the money was not instantly possessed by the receiver when the sender said, Holech. However, at the point that the sender died while the money was en route, at that point the receiver becomes the possessor of it because of a new principle, the principle of mitzvah l'kayim divrei hames. And therefore, if the agent discovers that the receiver is dead, but the receiver had already become the owner of the money because of mitzvah l'kayim divrei hames, therefore, upon discovery of the receiver's demise, it goes to his yorshim, as we saw in source Beis. Lema holich kizichi tanoihi. Shall we say that the issue of holich, how it is to be understood, as if it's to be understood as zichi, is it's a machlokes tanoim, the sanya. First of all, before we go further, we have a few structural issues. You'll notice we have a house shape on the side of the Gemara. There's a nosei and slash mivneh. The house shape is a nisoyon lahamid hoylich kizichidomi, an attempt to set up holech as equaling zichi as a machlokes tanoim. The inverted house, you can see on the third of the widest lines, is a rejection of this. Namely, that the holech instruction as being zichi is not a machlokes tanoim. The question will be, if it's not a machlokes tanoim, then how are we going to explain a machlokes tanoim that appears in the Tanaic source that appears shortly in the Gemara? So the Gemara will have to go over that again with a new direction. Structurally, we're saying that we have a long question, namely, shall we say that holech kizi is a machlokes tanoim? On the third wide line, you notice there's a rejection, a dechia, which we also have marked with a long rejection marking. What we're going to do then is first we're going to read the source. We're not going to attempt to offer much explanation as we read the source itself. That's really what the Gemara is going to do when we finish the framed section. And you'll notice after the framed section, the Gemara says, "My lav b'hol kamiflegi." Is it not so that the following is the point or the basis of the machlokes? And the Gemara will go through each one of the opinions that we see in the source. We've numbered off seven points, seven names, what each one is referring to. So first, the Gemara. We want to say that Leimo Hoylich Kizchi Tanoihi Desanya Hoylich Mono Leploni. Bring $100 to so-and-so, v'holachu bikcho v'lo matzo. The agent was sought out the receiver, didn't find him, he died. Yachzru l'mishalech. Money goes back to the sender. Meis mishalech. It's pointed out that this is not a continuation of the Tanakama. We'll say it's a new point. The meis mishalech, the sender, dies. The sender died. Rav Nosson, Rav Yankiv Omru, Yachzru liyorshe mishalech. The money goes back to the heirs of the sender. V'yeshomrim liyorshe mi shenishtalchu lo. The money goes to the heirs of the one unto whom the money was sent. Rabbi Yehuda Hanosi Omar Mishum Rabbi Yankiv Sheomar Mishum Rabbi Meir. Mitzvah Lekayim Divrei Hames. There is a special precept or commandment to fulfill the words of the dead, the one what he had desired. The Chachomim Omrim Yachloku. The Chachom say the money is split. The Kan Omru here in Bovel, Kol Ma Sheyirtze Shaliach Ya'aseh. The decision should be made by the agent. This idea of making a decision based on what he thinks should be done. Rashi says, "Ma sheyutze shliach yaseh lefi ma shero b'daitu shel mishalech im hoisa eino yofeh b'matanozu v'oyeves hamakabel v'hezbonov." If the original, if the sender had a great affection for the receiver and his children, so send the money to the heirs of the receiver. If not, so then it would go back to the sender. And if the sender is dead, it goes back to his family. Amar Rav Shimon Hanosi, Al Yodi Hoya Maise, an incident like this happened with me. Fi Omru Yachzru Liyorshe Mishalech. And the ruling was, return the money to the heirs of the sender. My love, behol komifligi. The Tanakama Sofar. The Tanakama who said that when the agent discovered that the receiver was dead, money goes back to the Mishaleach, goes back to the sender. It must be that he holds Holech Lav Kizichi, that the instruction of Holech doesn't mean take immediate possession. We take a look at the Rashi a few lines up from here. Tanakama, Delo Mairi Bemes Mishaleach. The Tanakama was not discussing a case where the sender died. V'yomar, the Tanakama said, Yachzru l'mishaleach, the money goes back to the sender. Rashi goes on to say, Sovar holech lav kizchidomi, aval im meis mishaleach, if the sender died, lo yadinon mai ko'omar bo. There, regarding that case, we don't know what the Tanakama would have said. But one point is clear, at least that's what we think right now, that holech, according to the Tanakama, does not mean take immediate possession. We continue in the Gemara with the second opinion in the source, Rav Nosson v'Rav Yankiv Nami. They too, holech lav kizchi. The afal gav demis. The holech does not mean take immediate possession on his behalf. And even if the mishalech died, the sender died, lo amrinon, we do not say mitzvah lekayim divrei hames, that there's a mitzvah to fulfill his words and have the money go to the destination. So Rashi on this says, Rav Nosson, Rav Yankiv, hosifu al dvorav, they added to the Tanakama, v'yomru dafilu meis mishaleach, even if the sender died, less lon bibori the mitzvah lekayim divrei hames. When it comes to a healthy person that was the sender, there's no element mitzvah, there's no commandment to fulfill his words. We continue. V'yesh omrim, the yesh omrim in the source had said the money, when the sender dies, the money should be given to the heirs of the receiver. So v'yesh omrim holech kizechi. We're going to come back to this in a moment, but we want to read the next opinion as well. Reb Yehuda Hanasi Omar Mishum Reb Yankiv Shomer Mishum Reb Meir holech lav kizechi. That the holech is not like zechi. However, mihu hecha demis, where the sender died, amrinon mitzvah lekayim divra meis. There's a special mitzvah that's fulfilled when you do what his original will was. Now, let's look at Rashi. V'yesh omrim, the fourth opinion, that had said in the source, mitzvah lekayim divrei, the third opinion, correction there, the third opinion said, the money is, when the sender dies, the money is sent to whom? The yorshimin shenishtach lo, to the heirs of the receiver. So Rashi says, v'yashomrim holech kizechi domi upligi. This opinion, this third opinion, would have argued a few lomes mishalech, even if the sender had not died, because simply holech, bring it, means he the receiver, gains immediate possession. The amuse de tanakama koi, and this yesh omrim is a reaction to the number one opinion here. The teda, and you should know that that is the case, that he's an extreme, we'll say, opposition to the first opinion, holding this third opinion, holding holech is kizchi. And how do you know that in the words? Demidikoma Reb Yehuda Hanasi, since Reb Yehuda Hanasi, the fourth opinion, said mitzvah lekayem divrei hameis, that it's going to go to the heirs of the receiver, shma mino, we can see from here, shaminhu layesh omrim. Reb Yehuda Hanasi had heard the opinion of the yesh omrim, the tolu tamayu baholech kizchi domi, v'afilu lo meis mishaleach, that they must have held that holech means immediate possession on behalf of the receiver, even if the sender did not die. V'yomar ihu, and Reb Yehuda Hanasi is reacting, davka meis, only if the sender died will it go to the heirs of the receiver. De mitzvah lekayim dvarov, aval lo meis lo. Reb Yehuda Hanasi would have said that had the sender not died, then it doesn't go to the heirs of the receiver. De holech lav kizchi domi. According to Reb Yehuda Hanasi, holech is not kizchi. We continue back in the Gemara, so we're picking up the Gemara on the first wide line where we have a number 5. V'chachomim oimrim yachloku misafgelahu. So here again we look at Rashi, misafgelahu, it seems the chachomim, they say the money is split, half it goes back to the house of the mishaleach, and the other half goes to the house of the receiver. Misafgelahu, they have a doubt. Ikizchi domi ilo. Is holech kizchi or not? We don't know. V'i mitzvah lekayim ilo. Is there a mitzvah lekayim divrei meis or not? So being that the whole matter is shrouded in doubt, split the money. We continue in the Gemara, number 6. V'kan omru, that was the sixth opinion. Here in Bavel, it was said that the language of the source was, whatever the shaliach wants to do, whatever he feels is right to do, he should do. Shuda Adif. The word shuda, without translating it literally, but it means according to what he sees is a better way of solving doubt than splitting. So leaving it up to the agent to decide what was the real desire of the mishaleach. Did he really have affinity and adoration of the receiver and his children or not? The next opinion, number 7, Rabbi Shimon Hanasi Maise Osa La'ashminen. And Rabbi Shimon Hanasi is coming to tell us an incident that happened. And according to the incident that happened, the ruling was that it goes back, the money goes back to the heirs of the sender. You see, we have a question mark here because this is the end of the whole attempt of the Gemara to say that Holech Kizichi is a Machlokes Tanoim. And we certainly saw that, let's say, debated as we went through the source. The Gemara says, lo, that's not the case. Bibori de Kuli Amalo Pligi. If the sender was a healthy person, everyone would be in agreement that Holech is not Kizichi. And here, what is the basis of the disagreement? Bishchiv meira, the sender was someone deathly ill. Ubeplukta the Rebbe Lozer v'Rabbonon kamifligi, and the machlokes is based on or parallels the machlokes between Rebbe Lozer and the Rabbonon. On the side of the more, we have a tatno, say a subtopic heading, machlokes tanoim. In l'shchiv meira din kebari legabi kinyonim. Up till now, we had this approach regarding a deathly ill individual, as if what he says, just by his instructions, things are signed, sealed, and delivered. That's going to be brought into question now, as a and presented as a machlokes tanoim. Does he have a din as a bori, as a regular healthy individual, or a din miyuchad, or the special locha shiyochol lahaknois bamira, that through his speech he creates transactions? The Gemara. We said that the machlokis above, the we'll say the seven name source, argues along the lines of the machlokis between Rebbe Lozer and Rabbanan. Someone who is dividing out his properties orally. Rebbe Lozer Omer Echad Bori Vechad Mesukan, whether it's a healthy person issuing his will or a deathly ill individual. Nechosim Sheshel Machrayas, properties that are real estate. Without translating the expression, just realize that when you see the term Nechosim Sheshel Machrayas, it's a reference to land or real estate. How is real estate transacted? Niknin bekesef ubishtar ubechazoka. Standard methods of kinyan, through paying for it, a deed transfer, a shtar, a document, a contract. Chazoka means an act of ownership, a physical act of ownership. That means that the purchaser would do something. If it's a field, he would start to cultivate the field. That would show us that he is the owner of it. The She'en Lemachrayas, properties that are portables, those are termed Nechosim She'en Lemachrayas. Again, we're not translating the phrase, we're saying it refers to portables, to metaltalin. Ein Nikmin Ela B'Meshicha. The only way one gains possession of metatlin is through meshicha, through the act of drawing it unto yourself. The chachomim omrim eilu v'eilu niknim b'amira. The chachomim say that whether it's landed property, whether it's real estate or it's portables, speech is enough for their transfer. It would certainly be reasonable to assume that the Chachamim, when they say that speech is enough, it's a reference to someone who is deathly ill. Omru lo, they said to Rebbe Lozer, Maisa be'imon, the mother of, be'imon shel b'nei roichol, shoysa choyla, and here you can see that the Chachamim were addressing the issue of someone who was deathly ill, and she was deathly ill, the Omra, and she said, Tinosein, we continue at the top of the Tes Vov, Kevinti Labiti. Kevinti is a type of ornament, jewelry. Rashi offers a French word for it. And she says, give my Kevinti to my daughter. Vehi b'shnei moser mona. It's worth 1,200, whatever, 1,200 units of money, $1,200. Umesa, and she died. V'kaimu chachomim es devorea, and the sages fulfilled her word. So that means that her mere speech, there was no kinyan made on the kvinti, and the daughter gains possession of it. Hence the chachomim use this incident to support their position. Omar Lohem. Rebbe Elazar reacts to the Chumash of Bnei Roichel, Tikbereim Imam. Rashi explains, before we read the Rashi, says, Rebbe Elazar says, any stories involving the Bnei Roichel are not going to serve as a basis for any halachic ruling. They were wicked individuals. Rashi says at the top, Tikbereim Imam Klola Hi. This was a curse. Literally, it would mean let their mother bury them. Klomar Lo Yalu Alei Velo Yizochru Beveis Hamedrash Laraya. They one shouldn't even consider them. They shouldn't be mentioned in the Beis Medrash as a source of proof. Lefish Rishoyim Hayu. They were evil. Shoyim Kaimim Kitzim Bekerem. That is a sin involving what we call kilayim. They maintained in a vineyard other types of plants, thorn plants that were used as animal feed. Ula Rebbe Elazar, kilayim, according to Rebbe Elazar, kitzim in a kerem is a violation of kilayim. For lo nilman meim raya, we're not going to learn anything from them. Lefi shalo dikdaknu bohen, we didn't scrutinize them. A choisa oisa tzavo, analyzing what exactly was the will mentioned there. Shemitoshe was showing lo huzgu beisam. Since they were wicked, they weren't mentioned, they weren't dealt with, they weren't analyzed in the Beis Medrash. At this point, we see a machlokes tanoim concerning a shchiv meira. Does his words, his instructions, constitute a kinyan, an actual transfer? Tanakama Kerbloser. What are we going to do now? We have numbers. If you skim ahead, you can see these numbers correspond to the numbers in the original source. The seven points, the seven names. Tanakama Kerbloser. The speaker in the source with the seven names was a shchiv meira. It was a deathly ill individual who said, Hoylech mono leploni. The receiver was then found to have been dead. The money goes back to the sender. Why? Because Tanakama holds like the Rebbe Elazar. There was no kinyan that was done, so there was no possession on behalf of the receiver. So the money goes back to the Mishaleach. Reb Noson, Reb Yankiv Nami, Kereb Elazar. This, by the way, is the same as we saw before in the following sense, that Reb Noson and Reb Yankiv agree with the Tanakama. And they add a point. Afagav demis, even if it turns out that the receiver died, don't confuse this by with the sender who was deathly ill, that's true. But even if it turns out that the receiver died, lo amrinon mitzvah lekayim divrei hames. We don't say that there is a mitzvah in fulfilling the words of the shchiv meira in the event that he dies. As we saw in the source, it said Meis Mishaleach. In the original source, the sender actually died. The sender had been a shchiv meira when he spoke, and then he died. Doesn't matter. The money goes back to the heirs of the sender, because we don't say mitzvah l'kayim divrei hames, that there's a mitzvah to fulfill the will of the one who has now died. V'yesh omrim kirabonan. V'yesh omrim in the source, there was a third opinion that said the money goes to the heirs of the receiver. They hold like the Rabbonan, namely that the words of the shchiv meira are considered signed, sealed, and delivered immediately. So as soon as the shchiv meira spoke, the receiver takes possession, and if receiver died, so it goes to his heirs. Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi Shomer Mishum Rabbi Meir Ki Rabbi Elazar. He agrees with the opinion that says that the words of the shchiv meira are not they're not meaningful per se. They don't clinch a deal. However, Miu Hecho Demis, in the event that the receiver died, in the event that the sender died, Amrinon, we say mitzvah lekayim divrei hames. His will was that the receiver should get it. Now that the sender died, we should fulfill his will. we take a look at the Rashi across from here, Kirebelozer, Miditolu Taimo Bemisa. Since Rabbi Yehuda Nasi made mention of death, Ha'im Lo Meis, had he not died, the source spoke about Meis Mishaleach. I should just clarify that. Let's read this again. Miditolu Taimo Bemisa. It said in the source, Meis Mishaleach. Had he not died, then it would not have gone through. It wouldn't go to the Yorshe Mishanishtachulo. So what do we see from that? That Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi holds, like Rabbi Elazar, that the initial instruction didn't mean immediate possession on behalf of the receiver. We continue. V'chachomim armim yachloku, misafka lahu. The Chum say the money is split, they have doubts. What are the doubts? First of all, we're dealing once again with a sender with a shchiv mirah. Do we rule like Rabbi Elazar that his words are not binding, or like the Rabbanan that his words are binding? V'heicha demis nami, and in a case where the sender died, misafkalu I mitzvah l'kayim divrei ha-meisolo, do we say that there's a mitzvah to fulfill his will or not? We continue in the Gemara, v'kan omru shuda adif. The better way to solve a doubtful situation is leave it up to the agent to decide. V'Reb Shimon Hanasi Maise Osa Lashminan. And Reb Shimon was coming to tell us an incident that took place. The Gemara asks, regarding the name Reb Shimon Hanasi, Ibayalaho, Reb Shimon Hanasi, Nasi who? Was he an actual leader of the Jewish people? Oy Mishmei Denasi Ka'amar. Or is it Reb Shimon saying something in the name of the Nasi? Toshma, Diomar Rav Yosef, Halacha K'Reb Shimon Hanasi. So we're supposed to conclude from Rav Yosef that it's Reb Shimon was a Nasi. But how is this any clearer than the source itself? V'adayinti bayalach, Nasi hu o dekomer mishmei de Nasi. Even with regard to Rav Yosef, is Rav Shimon the Nasi, or was Rav Yosef ruling like Rav Shimon, who quoted Halacha in the name of the Nasi? Teku. This remains unresolved. Gufa, Omar Rav Yosef, Halacha, Rav Shimon, Hanasi, which said that the money goes back to the Yorshe Mishaleach, the heirs of the one who sent it originally. The Gemara asks, you see we have a double underlining, the double underline highlights the term Kaimelon. We're going to be asking on Rav Yosef from principles that are, let's say, well accepted principles. And Rav Yosef had said that the money goes back to the heirs of the sender. It's true that we saw this issue as a machlokes tanoim beforehand, but Rav Yosef is an Amora, and the points of controversy that existed earlier had already been decided. And we hold that the words of a Shchivma are considered signed, sealed, and delivered. They are of instant power. So if the Shchivma was the speaker, and he said, hey, I want the money to go to the receiver, that's it, it becomes the receiver's. Why does he rule that the money goes back to the heirs of the sender? Rav Yosef Muki Lo Bebori. Well, first and foremost, Rav Yosef doesn't view the source as dealing with a shchiv mirah. He views the source as having dealt with a healthy person. Basically, the way we originally analyzed the source. The Gemara asks, what do you mean, dealing with a healthy person? Voli Yorshe Mishaleach Komar. The source speaks about the heirs of the sender. The Kaimelon, another principle we hold is Mitzvah L'Kayim Divrei HaMeis. So that even if the sender was healthy, but he died, and his will was to have the money transferred to the receiver. Tani. So The Gemara says, instead of reading the source, instead of reading the source as with Reb Shimon, Hanosi saying Yachsu li Yorshei Mishaleach, take out the word Yorshei, Tani Yachsuru la Mishaleach. So we're dealing with a case where the sender never died, and the sender had been healthy, and the receiver was discovered to have been dead. So the money is brought back to the receiver, to the sender himself, so that it's true. If we were dealing with a shchiv merah, the divrei shchiv merah kiksuvim l'sorim tamu, it's true that if the sender had died, there would be a mitzvah l'kayim b'divrei ha-meis, but those elements were not present in this source as far as Rav Yosef was concerned. As you can see, that with the help of the Almighty, we were zoichet to finish the first perek. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.